Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Be ye not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, if you will, go real quick, go over to Acts chapter 1. I just got one verse I'm going to read over there. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says, But ye shall receive power, this is Jesus speaking, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to preach tonight, Lord. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you just fill me with your power. Help me to only say the things that you would have me to say, Lord. And I pray that folks would be open and receptive, Lord. I pray that you just help me be able to convey what you've taught me a little bit. And thank you for the people that came out tonight and the good crowd we have. Lord, I pray for our preachers. He's away from us. I pray that you just give him safety and help him have a good meeting there in Texas. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. To be quite honest, this message actually has come from a children's church message, which most of my messages do come from children's church messages. I just don't, you know, use stuffed animals and other things like that. So I know it's sad, but we'll try to grow it up a little bit. But the other, I don't know, it's probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was preaching a message on the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know if you've ever taught a lot of kids, but there are some subjects that are easy to preach to kids. There's some subjects that are not so easy to preach to kids. Well, preaching about the Holy Ghost is something that's not super easy to preach to kids about, because it's, you know, you have to have a lot of faith. It's not something you can see, you know, which is everything in Christian life. You have to have a lot of faith. But preaching on the Holy Ghost, I had a lot of crazy illustrations and stuff. And so tonight, I'm going to preach part of that. And then I'm going to preach a message that kind of, it was kind of one of them, I'm doing something, but I'm not doing something type deal. While I was preaching this to the kids, the Holy Spirit was talking to me about stuff. So I'm gonna share with you what the Lord shared with me, and hopefully this will be a blessing to you tonight. And it's just a challenge. You know, this is, like I say every time I preach, you know, the Holy Ghost is going to have to work on your heart. I can't. There's nothing I can do. The Holy Ghost has to do it, and we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost tonight and the importance of it. This isn't going to be anything new tonight. Everybody knows everything I'm going to say. I just want to give you a challenge through this. We know that in the Old Testament, you know, believers were not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They were sometimes, the Holy Spirit came down upon them in power, but the Holy Spirit didn't actually come and live inside believers until after Jesus Christ had died and was resurrected. So that was when he gave us the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we know that. We know one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he draws men. He draws men to God. And, you know, the Bible says no man can be saved unless the Father draweth him. Well, the person of the Father, the Godhead, is three parts in one. Well, try to explain that to second graders. That's interesting. But it's three parts in one. And we have to understand they're all equal parts, but they each have a different role. Well, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of our need of salvation. He's the one that knocks on the door of our heart. And we have to let the Holy Spirit, we have to ask Jesus Christ to come in our heart and save us. And when we do that, it's not actually what we would say Jesus coming into our heart and save us. It's the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost will come into your heart and dwell there as the comforter. That is his job, as the comforter. Well, as he is in there comforting you, the Holy Spirit is also in there convicting you. You know, now you're just not some pagan out in the world. You know, stuff should bother you now, because you have a part of God living inside of you now. You know, when you sit down to watch TV, it's just not you as a fleshly being with a sin nature watching TV. It is you sitting there watching TV with part of God inside of you. So that ought to make us more accountable to what, I'm not just saying TV, it could be TV, it could be what you see on the sign, it could be what you read in a book, it could be what you see on the computer. Everything, we got to realize that God is, there is a part of God that dwells within us. And so I was trying to explain that because, honestly, you say, Brother Chad, why are you trying to teach about the Holy Ghost to the kids? Because they don't have a comprehension of, you know, they go out and sin this week. Well, then they come back next week and I say, does anybody in here think that they don't know for sure that they would go to heaven? Well, I've got 20 kids that raise their hand. Well, I honestly believe that they've been saved. But what they don't realize is that the Holy Ghost inside of them is still inside of them. They don't realize that. And so they think, oh, I sinned this week. I did some wrong things. And my workers are very careful. And I've told them, you know, when you talk to these kids, find out what they're, and a lot of the kids that raise their hand for repeat, what we'd call repeat salvation, it's not because they're lost. It's because they just think that because they've sinned, that they're not saved anymore. But the Holy Ghost, once you're saved, folks, the Holy Ghost never leaves you. The Holy Ghost is that comforter. He's that earnest that the Bible talks about. It'd be like a payment, a set forth payment. Like a down payment. And, you know, it's the earnest. It's part of God. It's just an anticipation of what's to come. Well, you know, God's not going to go to hell. Well, you've got to put a part of God inside of you. So that means that you're not going to go to hell if God's word is true, and it is. So they have to realize that. The Holy Spirit is the voice that assures us that we are the child of God. But he is also the voice that convicts us of sin. And I use Samuel in this illustration. And I had Samuel come up and I said, I just want you to say two words for me. I'm here. Just two simple words. I'm here. And what I did is, you know, I said, Samuel, I want you to say that for me every time I point to you. And I was pointing to him all the time. You know, and he kept saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does to us. That's his comforting spirit. He says, I'm here. So when we have a doubt or something, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost is inside of you. And he's that voice that says, hey, I'm still here. You don't have to worry about it. I'm still here. You know, when you have doubts and the devil says, well, I'm going to throw some doubts at them, the Holy Spirit's the one inside that says, I'm still here. However, the Holy Spirit, he also says that all the time. You know, you can't choose when the Holy Spirit says, I'm here. So when you sit down, it's like what I was saying earlier, when you sit down and you do something that you know is not right, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts you and says, hey, I'm here. I'm here. What many times as Christians do, or I've done it before in my life, we hear the Holy Spirit, but we've got such an appetite for what we've got in our lives that shouldn't be there, we tell the Holy Spirit to be quiet. And we say, be quiet, Holy Spirit. I don't want to listen to you. And the Holy Spirit keeps saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Be quiet, Holy Spirit. I want you to be quiet. I'm enjoying the things that's appeasing my flesh, so I want you to be quiet. So you keep telling the Holy Spirit to be quiet. You know what happens before long? He listens to you. I mean, he's not going to fight for your attention. He'll be quiet. But you know what also that means? That same voice that was saying, I'm here, when the devil was sending doubts in your life, he's like, why should I say something now? I'll be quiet right now. And I think that's why a lot of the kids, they would have these doubts, is because, you know, through their life, they don't have any structured life like a lot of us do. They don't have the biblical knowledge that once God's in their heart, that he'll always be there. So they go through life, and sin builds up, and sin gets louder and drowns out the voice of the Holy Spirit. Then they think, well, where's the Holy Spirit? Where is it at? So they begin to doubt their salvation. You know, many times I think that's true, not just in kids, but in us adults. You know, we come to church, and I've found many times in my life when it doesn't seem like I'm getting anything on my Bible, it doesn't seem like when I come to church that, I mean, when was the last time you came to church and the Holy Spirit tugged on your heart? You say, Brother Chad, it's been forever. Well, why is that? Is there something that you're drowning out the Holy Spirit? Is there some time that, you know, during the week that you're telling the Holy Spirit to be quiet so that when you come to church on Sunday or on Wednesday, the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to your heart, but you've told the Holy Spirit to be quiet so much you can't hear it? And I think that's in my life, at least, when I found I can't get something out of God's word, or when I can't get something out of the preaching, it's because the Holy Spirit, I've quenched the Holy Spirit. I've quenched that voice in my heart. And we got to be careful about that. So that was the adult version of what I taught them. That took me 5 minutes, whereas before it took me about 40. So, but while I was preaching that, and this is kind of the weird part, while I was trying to explain that to the kids, and I think a lot of them, it kind of clicked. I mean, you know, they're always going to have some that, you know, you got to keep preaching to them about stuff like that. But I was preaching to kids about that, and it's kind of one of them things where you separate yourself, and you kind of, I was thinking, man, the kids are listening good today. You know, workers are doing good. Everybody's doing good. Oh, you know, while I'm preaching this. And then the Holy Ghost said, hey, dummy, are you listening to yourself? And I was like, Holy Spirit, be quiet. I'm trying to preach, all right? And he's like, hey, I'm God, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, you're God. I'm trying to preach to these kids. You know, it takes all my divine attention. And he's like, do I live in you? Yes, I'm just telling him. See, I just said that. You live in me. And, you know, I'm trying to concentrate, which everybody that knows me knows I have a one-track mind. So this is really abnormal for me to even be able to do this. So he's like, do you know, I am God. I was like, yes, I know you're God. I live in you. Yes, I know you live in me. I know I'm saved. And then he asks this, why don't you let me control you? And I said, I don't know. And I about stopped and started preaching on why don't you let the Holy Spirit, but that was way out there for them kids. And they're just doing good if us children's church workers can control them. But, you know, he said, why don't you let me empower you? And I thought, well, I mean, I can have these kids sit here for 40, 45 minutes and not say a word. I'm doing all right. And so I thought about this last, I preached this probably 4 weeks ago. Some of the weeks run together. Probably about 4 weeks ago. And I thought, well, I'll study this later. So I started studying this, and I even started looking at the lives of some of the men of God that had their lives, what we would consider empowered. The old timers, they used to call it baptism by the Holy Ghost, or filled with the Holy Ghost. So I started looking at some of these things. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Most of you could quote this verse to me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why did God put this correlation of you can either be drunk with wine or be filled with the Spirit? Because each one is a controlling substance. You know, you know that a person that's an alcoholic, what's controlling their thought process is somebody that's drunk, they're not in mental capability of controlling their mind. They're not in the mental capability of controlling their body functions. The alcohol is. Well, I believe the Bible put this parallel in here is because it says, be not drunk with wine, don't be controlled by alcohol, but on the other hand, be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit control you. And what I was thinking the other day in children's church, and I've thought about this in the past couple weeks, is I can do everything that I can. And we've got people in here, and this, I want to be an encouragement to you tonight. You do everything that you can. You study every week for children's, you know, I study every week for children's church. You study every week for your Sunday school lesson. You go bus visit. You do what you're supposed to do. That is what you're supposed to do. But what can take, I mean, each one of us only has so much time. Each one of us only has so much ability, so much charisma. What can take what we do, the little amount that we do, what can take that? What would be one factor that could multiply that one thing? You know, I preach to kids in children's church. That's fine. I mean, it doesn't honestly take a whole lot of ability. Otherwise, I couldn't do it. It doesn't take a whole lot of ability to preach to kids. I mean, you have to be exciting. You have to tell a story. You have to illustrate everything. But almost everybody in this room could do it. I mean, you really could. And many of you do. But what takes it from that to having a huge influence on these kids' lives? I mean, I can go in every week and preach, but it doesn't mean I'm making a difference. All right? And that's what I want to do. I want to make a difference in people's lives. And I know that being filled with the Spirit, we read this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Being filled with the Spirit, as Pastor always says, and he's preached on this much more and has much better knowledge of this. But being filled with the Spirit's not going to a gas station and, you know, I want $50 worth of Holy Spirit and you just get filled up with the Holy Spirit. No, being filled with the Holy Spirit is being controlled by the Holy Spirit, where everything in your life is just being controlled. You know, the words I say, are they, David said, my tongue, where he talked about his tongue being controlled as being the tongue of God. The word of God came off of his tongue is what he kind of said. And is that the way I am? Is what I'm saying to these kids, is that just Bible? Because I can preach the Bible. There's principles in the Bible that everybody can preach. Or is it God speaking through me as a tool to these people? And I began to think, what could God do with me? I mean, I'm just a country boy, scared of large crowds, obviously. And and then I thought of this. What could God do with me if I allowed the God that lives in me to work through me, to work out of me? And that's kind of what this study tonight is going to be about. And I just want to encourage you. Some of you are giving all that you can. That's fine. That's great. I'm so thankful. I got bus workers spend hours on Saturday. Their Sundays are shot. Sunday school teachers spend hours of the week studying. That's fine. That's good. But what could you do to take that to the next step? There's nothing you can do. You're doing what you're supposed to. But what if we were all filled with the Holy Spirit? Could we take that to the next level? Could it not be just us working, but God working through us as we're just a tool? That's all we are. I started looking at the life of D.L. Moody. I think, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, I think Preacher says, he's the one that says, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man who is totally surrendered. I think that was D.L. Moody. He heard that from somebody, and he said, I want to be that man. Well, at the end of his life, he went back and said, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man wholly surrendered to him. D.L. Moody, most of you know him. He had some of the largest congregations in Chicago. He had he came from working in a shoe store. He was led to the Lord, and he started building Sunday schools in Chicago. He had one of the largest congregations in Chicago. Well, what really irked D.L. Moody is every time he preached a lot at the YMCA, not what we know it today, but back then, and he had two ladies sitting on the front row. I think it was Annie Cook and Mrs. Snow, I think is what their names were. And he had two ladies that sat on the front row, and they really bugged him because they always seemed like they were praying instead of listening to him. Well, D.L. Moody, he finally caught him one day, they would come up after the service, and they would tell him, Mr. Moody, we're praying for you. And he's like, well, okay, thank you. We're praying that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that just kind of irked him. You know, well, I've got the largest congregation in Chicago. I mean, I'm doing fine. Well, he finally met with these ladies one time and actually met with them. And they explained to him that their desire for him was that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that became D.L. Moody's desire. And he would pray and he begged God that he could be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I don't think I could ever be a great man of God. I don't I'm not like, I know I looked at the life of D.L. Moody, I looked at the life of Spurgeon, I looked at the life of R.A. Torrey, I looked at the life of Charles Finney. I looked at all these men's lives and how the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in them and was used, and they were used by God as simply tools. Not that I could never be a great man of God. And then, like the Holy Spirit usually does, you seem to say, I don't want you to be a great man of God. He said, I just want you to be a man that a great God can use. Amen. What if that became all of our mottos? What if, well, I can't ever be a great this or the great that. Why don't we just be us? Simple enough. But why don't we let the great God that we serve use us? I don't believe this is just for pastors. I don't believe it's just for me, maintenance person, work at the church. I don't believe it's just for that. And I don't even believe that you have to change what you do. You know, many times I think we hear somebody preach about the Holy. We preach about the Holy Spirit, and we think, oh, man, here he goes again. If I have to surrender to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be sent to Africa. I'm going to be sent to China. I'm going to be sent to Laos and be have my head cut off. You know, the Holy Spirit is going to ask so much of me if I surrender to the Holy Spirit. I want to show you a few people in the Bible that this isn't true about. We're going back to the Old Testament. You say, Brother Chad, the Old Testament, go to Judges chapter 13. The Old Testament is different. The Holy Spirit works in different ways. Okay, that's true. He doesn't indwell people like he does now. But I think it was the same Holy Spirit. When the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, I don't think the Holy Spirit changes. Judges chapter 13. This is one of my kind of heroes. I don't know whether to have him as a hero or hate him. This is talking about Samson. Let's start in verse 24. We're just going to read about the birth of Samson. It says, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. I believe this is the same Spirit of the Lord. You might be able to argue with me and show me passages it's not, but I don't see the Spirit of the Lord changing from Old Testament to New Testament. His job changed somewhat. You know, he didn't indwell all believers in the Old Testament. We already covered that. But he did come up, down and empower believers in the Old Testament. And we see that in the life of Samson. We see that in verse 25. He began to move at times. It wasn't that Samson was all great all the time. The Bible said he began to move at times. Judges chapter 15, just over one page. And this is happening. I just picked one verse because we could spend a long time on this. It says, when he came to Lehi, verse 14, and when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an axe, and put forth his hands, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. Now, honestly, that just blows my mind. I mean, when was the last World War II or Vietnam or, I don't care, soldier that you heard to kill 1,000 men? And that's with machine guns and, you know, missiles. This guy killed it with a jawbone of a donkey, killed 1,000 men. And that's pretty amazing to me. You say, well, Samson was just a huge man. He was super strong. Honestly, I don't think so. Quite honestly, I think he's about 5'9", 150 pounds. But, I mean, you can differ on that, but I just kind of think that's what he was. You know, you get these Bible, this is what cracks me up. We've got these Bible storybooks for Emily, and you go through there, and they're so biblically inaccurate on their pictures. You know, Samson looks like his mom was feeding him protein shakes in his bottle. I mean, instead of going to the 4 and 5 year olds, he was going to the gym pumping iron. I mean, he looks like he's this huge, all of his clothes, he's busting out of his clothes. You know, I don't think so. Because if he was like that, it would be no, oh yeah, well, duh, sure he'd kill 1,000 guys. You know, I think he was a normal person. That's why Samson's greatness was because he was an ordinary man that served an extraordinary God. You know, I think when Samson, it was like a little atomic bomb going off. You know, I mean, he was just all over the place, and because it wasn't him that was doing it. It was the God that he served working through him. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 6. Here's a New Testament example. This is where they're calling the disciples or the deacons out of in Acts. Verse number 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, that's one criteria, full of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that interesting? Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And we see later, if you look later, when Stephen was being stoned, what did the Bible say about Stephen? He was full of the Holy Ghost. What makes a person, what makes all the martyrs in times past be able to be sawn asunder, be able to be trodden under horses, be able to be burned to death because they were full of the Holy Ghost? It wasn't that they were extraordinary humans. It was because they were just normal people who served an extraordinary God. And they allowed that God to fill them and to overflow where their strength didn't matter anymore. It was the strength coming from within them. We'll continue here. That wasn't the one I was going to preach on. It says, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. Sorry with the last few. I just stopped after the one I wanted. So we'll go to Acts chapter 8. The Bible mentioned Philip there. That's who we're going to talk about. And from everything I've read, and this is just historic things that I've read. I can't find it necessarily. It's just a historic fact. This Philip is the one that had the ministry and then won the Ethiopian eunuch. It wasn't the Philip, the disciple Philip. Because after Pentecost, we don't see the disciple Philip mentioned anymore. We see the deacon Philip mentioned. So I believe that that's who this is. Anyway, Acts chapter 8, verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lamed were healed. In fact, we'll just look at this for interest's sake. Verse number 14 says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now, if this is just kind of one of the proof points things, if Philip was one of the apostles, he would have been in Samaria already because Philip had just preached in Samaria. So the apostles said, that's the reason I believe that this was a different. This wasn't one of the apostles. That's what I'm trying to prove, that it's not all apostles that God uses. God uses apostles, but God also uses deacons here. He wasn't called by God to be a great orator. He was just a deacon. Because we see here the apostles, when they heard what was going on, they sent some other apostles over there. Okay? Go down to verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, remember this is the deacon, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So Philip was being used. He was being led by God, and he went down and he led the Ethiopian eunuch. He opened the door into a heathen nation through this Ethiopian eunuch because he was being led by God. Verse number 39, after the Ethiopian eunuch gets saved and they gets baptized, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What kind of man would it be, a deacon, just like any of us, not a preacher, not a prophet, not an apostle that had witnessed Christ, but just a deacon. What kind of person would it be, just like us, that God could tell, I want you to go here and witness to this specific person? That's all that he went to Gaza into the desert for, was to witness to this Ethiopian eunuch. And then when he got saved, God said, all right, he's so filled with the Holy Ghost, God can move him. That's amazing power. You know, I don't believe that that's necessarily possible for us today. But why couldn't we strive for that? Why couldn't we strive that we could be so filled with the power of God that we're a tool? That's all we are. It's just a tool that God can use. So we see that there are many people in the Bible. You know, think of Gideon. God, and the Spirit of God came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet and all of wherever came to him. They were men used by God. They were men filled by the Holy Spirit of God. You say, Brother Chad, what about D.L. Moody? He was talking about him earlier. This is what D.L. Moody said. This is exactly what he said. After he had his experience where he felt that he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he said, I went to preaching again. This is what caught my attention. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths. Yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience if you should give me all the world it would do, all the world. It would be as small as the dust of the balance. Hey, I'm not suggesting we do anything different. In fact, I'm not, you know, we need to stick to the old paths. We have to stay on the old paths. But what about instead of walking the old paths in the weakness of our flesh, we walked it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't have to change our methods. We just change the one that's working through us through our methods. You know, our flesh is weak. You know what, bus workers, I mentioned it in the bus meeting the other day. Our flesh don't want to go out when it's 106 degrees. It don't. I mean, at least mine don't. But you know what? The Holy Spirit of God, he'll give you that extra strength. It's not, and we see that physically, it's also spiritually. He'll give you the extra, man, I'm just wore out. I'm ready to call it quits. It seems like I'm not getting anything. Well, the Holy Spirit of God, he'll give you that extra strength. What if instead of just a children's church preacher, the kids in children's church could have a spirit-filled children's church leader? Well, what could possibly happen? Instead of the words that I speak or Chad Gordon's words, what if they're actually God's words coming out of my mouth? You say, that's kind of weird, Brother Chad. Okay, but sometimes the weird is the supernatural. And the supernatural is what produces. What if instead of a bus captain, they could have a spirit-filled bus captain? What if instead of a Sunday school worker, they could have a spirit-filled Sunday school worker? You've given everything you've got, folks, and I'm thankful. Thank you for the faithfulness of everybody. But I'm not asking you to give more. I'm just asking you to let God give through you. What if instead of an employee, your employer should have a spirit-filled employee? What do you think could happen in your workplace? Instead of just getting, I was thinking about this the other day, what if I was a spirit-filled employee and I'm out there staying in the church building? This may sound silly, but what if instead of just getting a third of one side done, God gave me the strength to get half a side done? So, Brother Chad, that's kind of carnal. God gave strength to Samson to kill 1,000 men. I don't think why he can't give me strength to finish an extra half of the school building. What's different? What if instead of just church members, our pastor, who I believe is spirit-filled, could have a spirit-filled church members? What if instead of just a daddy, my daughter could have a spirit-filled daddy? What if instead of just a husband, my wife could have a spirit-filled husband? What if instead of a youth group, young people, what if Brother Reiser could, instead of going to camp with a carnal youth group, what if he could have a spirit-filled youth group? What could God do with that? What if instead of raising just kids, young people, what if God could raise, what if your parents had the privilege to raise spirit-filled kids? I don't think it's age discriminate. I just think it has to be to yielded people. What if instead of coming home to his wife, husbands could come home to a spirit-filled wife? What could God do through our lives if we simply let ourselves be filled? Now I've just got 2 points and we'll be done. In order to be filled, And I got an illustration. I love using illustrations. I think illustrations are probably one of the biggest keys to kids, to teaching kids, because they remember it. And quite honestly, I must have a kid's mind because I really remember illustrations too. But I got some stuff, and I've used this at 5th and 6th grade. You've seen me use this before. You said, Brother Chad, what does it mean to empty yourself? Okay, this jar. What's the purpose of this jar? To hold stuff, right? I mean, if this jar just sits on a shelf, is it of any good to anybody? Not particularly. All right, so this jar is to be filled. And I'm not going to fill it because groceries are too expensive. But this jar, the purpose of this jar is to be filled. I think we had green beans in this year. The purpose of this jar is to be filled, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so for this jar to be filled with, say, the water that's in this bottle, what has to happen to what's in there right now? It has to be emptied out, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we'll empty some of this out. And you say, well, Brother Chad, I'm going to get rid of some of the things in my life. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, you can have everything in my life. So the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'll try to fill you as much as I can. This is water and oil. Everybody knows what water and oil does. Separates. Does the Holy Spirit have part of your life? Sure. But when you pour it out, when you pour yourself out on Sunday, when you pour yourself out on Saturday, to those kids, to the ministry, what comes out? Water and oil. Some of your carnality, I hate to say carnality, but some of the things we hold on to, instead of it being just the Holy Spirit of God coming out, it's some of our flesh coming out too. So you say, Brother Chad, what are the things in my life I have to get rid of? I'm not telling you how to get rid of everything. I mean, there's some things in your life that are good. They're good things for you. But we say, Brother Chad, what should I get rid of? You should get rid of anything, because this is the Holy Spirit of God. You should get rid of anything that does not go into the Holy Spirit of God. Just like oil does not go into water. So if you get rid of everything, that oil, you then can be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know what happens now? Every time you pour yourself out, it's not any of you coming out. It's just the Holy Spirit of God. That power that the Holy Spirit wants to give you, and He'll keep refilling you. You don't have to worry about, oh, I'm going to run out of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. That won't happen. But the Holy Spirit of God, you have to empty yourself, folks. And it's not, like I said, it's not emptying yourself of everything, but anything that the Holy Spirit wouldn't go together with. If there's something in your life that you say, well, this is, oh, I don't know, if the Holy Spirit saw me doing this, I don't, well, duh, get rid of it. Because if the Holy Spirit don't go together with it, then it's going to prohibit you from being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible doesn't say they were partly filled. You know, Samson, just his arms were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He couldn't run anywhere, but boy, he could swing good. So why do we as Christians think, well, I'm just going to give part of me to God. I'll just give a part that I want to. Well, then can you be totally used as a vessel for God's power, for God's infilling? No, you can't. It's impossible. You can't be filled with two things. Okay? Am I so full of myself and the cares of this world that I drown out the Holy Spirit, then I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit? Mark chapter 4, verse 19, I'll just read it to you for time's sake. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. I couldn't have outlined that any better. The cares of this world, things of this life, deceitfulness of riches, money, our time, you know, what they say, time is money, money's time. Deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, do what to the word? Choke it, so that it cannot become fruitful. It's unfruitful. Brother Chad can preach as much as I want to children's church workers. I can go visiting as much as I want to bus kids. But if I'm doing it in the power of my flesh, it will be unfruitful. I have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in my life. Okay? And the more filling that you have of the Holy Spirit, the more fruit that you can produce. The second thing, so we must be emptied of ourselves. This is real simple. The second thing we must do, we must ask. Go to Luke chapter 11. I want you to see this. It's so simple. Luke chapter 11, verse number 11. In Luke chapter 11, it started out with the Lord's model prayer, what he taught his disciples to pray. Then it talks about the importunate friend. Then we have verse number 11, the parable of fatherhood. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, and will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Why don't we just ask God? It's not 1-2-3 formula. It's just 1-2. Why don't we just empty ourselves? But if you empty yourself, remember the story that Jesus told, a man that he had 7 demons, and I think it was 7, and he cast the 7 demons out of his house, and he swept the house. And then he didn't fill it with anything, did he? You know, pastor teaches the principle of replacement. If you're going to empty yourself of carnal things and you don't fill it back up with something of the Spirit of God, what's going to happen? You'll just fill back up with carnal things, but it'll be more carnal than what you emptied out of there. That's been true in my life. I can testify that. I'll come up to the altar. The Holy Spirit will work on me out there. I'll come up to the altar and I'll say, Lord, I need to get rid of this. I got an attitude. I got something in my life I need to get rid of. So I go home, and instead of putting something good back into my life, I just say, well, that decision will be good enough. And you know what? A few weeks later, I've got a worse attitude than I had before. It's because you have to replace it with something. Well, when you empty yourself of yourself, you have to ask God to come in, the Holy Spirit to empower you. Moody, Tory, Spurgeon, Sunday, Finney, every one of them, I looked at times in their life when they said, I want the Holy Spirit of God in my life. I mean, some of the greatest men that we would think of as being, John R. Rice was the same way. There was a time in his life when he said, I went to earnest prayer to ask the Holy Spirit to come in my heart and to fill me, not just indwell, the Holy Spirit's indwelling in you now, if you're saved, but to fill me, to empower me. For these men, this wasn't just a flippant time of prayer. For some, it was a long time of prayer and fasting. I'm going to start talking about, a couple days. For some, it was 3, 4, 5 years before the Holy Spirit, and I think God makes this decision, before the Holy Spirit says, they are empty enough of themselves that I feel I can come in and empower them. And they prayed for that. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then everything that proceeds from you has been touched by God. I believe that our pastor is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What would it be if every member would take a moment to empty ourselves of ourselves, put away all the pettiness, all the carnality that keeps the Holy Spirit from filling us, and just take a little bit of time and beg God to fill us? Why? So we can be great church members, so that everybody can say, oh, those people there at Blessed Hope. No. But it's so we can say, so we're church members, that a great God has filled, a great God has used. We don't want, I don't want my name in headline, whatever, billboards or anything like that. But I would want me to be able to be known as being used by God, with God having the preeminence. Folks, we talked about the Holy Ghost, and there's a wonderful power in each and every one of us tonight. Residing in you is the Holy Ghost. To me, that's just amazing that God would send a part of his being. And we have Jesus as the ultimate example. Spurgeon believed that, I don't really know how you distinguish this. When Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down upon him, well, he believes that Jesus did his ministry on earth in the power of the Spirit, that he was filled with the Spirit. is God God, God is God. You know, I don't know which one did which, but he was a good example for us. Before Jesus started his earthly ministry, we see that the Holy Spirit came down and filled him. Before he started at his baptism. Jesus is our great example. The ultimate goal of Christian life is to be like Jesus. So what if this week, before I, and this is a challenge to me, I'm not telling you to do something that I'm not willing to do. And I'm not telling you to do something that I have necessarily already done. But there have been a few times in my life when I've asked Jesus or asked the Holy Spirit to completely infill me. And I don't think the Holy Spirit has ever completely infilled me, to be quite honest. I'll be honest with you. But he's given me a taste every once in a while. I worked security at college. Probably one of the dumbest things I ever did. But I worked security at college, and I didn't get to bed till 1 o'clock in the morning, and you just had to deal with a lot of immature people. But anyway, I remember a lot of Saturday nights, though. I was a bus captain. Those nights that you just wouldn't get to bed till 2. Because you was praying for a supernatural thing the next morning. And God would just give you a taste of that. I desire that. Does that mean I have to change my whole lifestyle? Does that mean, folks, you have to change your whole lifestyle and become a missionary? Or no, God doesn't ask you that. We've seen that. But what if you just ask God to fill you? Folks, if you're going to be filled, you have to be emptied first. That is the sacrifice you're going to have to make. But I believe the benefits far outweigh the little bit of sacrifice you have to give. What if we all desired a taste of that? Desired that maybe instead of just being a children's church preacher, that I could be a spirit-filled children's church preacher, and that I could actually influence people's lives instead of just being Brother Chad saying something and telling a funny story, singing funny songs, you know, acting goofy. What if the Holy Spirit reached out and touched a person's life and it was forever changed? Would that be worth giving up that thing that the Holy Spirit's telling you to get rid of tonight? That's up to you. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But I just wanted to challenge you. You've given maybe all you've got to give. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit give through you? Why don't you let him do that tonight? You know, and like I said, it may take some time. There may be a weeding out process. Will you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you show me? Because I know personally, the last couple weeks I've been praying and asking the Holy Spirit, and it's not all just like, boom, one night. Chad, you've got so many things wrong in your life. You got to get them all right tonight. It's not necessarily that. The Holy Spirit will bring something to my mind. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'll get that right. Holy Spirit will bring somebody to my mind I need to get things right with. Okay, I'll get things right. It may take some time, but I want to encourage you to at least consider it. Let the Holy Spirit work on your heart. And if there's something that's in there that you got to empty to be filled with the Holy Spirit, folks, I believe that the evidence is there that there is, the benefits are beneficial. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you gave us to preach. Lord, I know I'm not a very good orator. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be filled with your power. Lord, help me to be surrendered to your will. Lord, I thank you for just the everybody's attentiveness tonight and just the way they listen. Lord, help us to be at least willing to be used by you, be filled by you. In Jesus' name, amen.